Hey, I'm Steffi. I go big for the holidays, so I'm going to Famous Footwear. With over 800 stores, you're never far from the perfect gift. So make your list and make it famous. Buy one pair, get one half off at Famous Footwear or famous.com. Some exclusions apply.
When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry and put your twist on tradition. A bold cranberry and winter spice flavors fusion, Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry is a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season, and only for a limited time. Sprite, obey your thirst.
Welcome to the Bulwark Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Miller. We are back with a fave. He is a former member of Congress from Illinois. He served in the Air Force and on the January 6th committee. He can do some bicep curls. And he's the subject of a new documentary, The Last Republican, which is available on Apple TV, Prime Video, and other platforms. It's Adam Kinziger. What's up, man?
Hey, I'm at the Bulwark studio today.
I know.
You're not here.
I know, it sucks. I did get to see you in person, give those arms a squeeze, and see your wife, and it was a funeral, but it was still good to see you. But I had to pop up to New York.
You know what's funny is they did the old put out some pictures, from the funeral, like the AP pictures, and they did put out one of Sophia and I, but we're laughing in it, and we're the only ones where people are laughing. I'm like,
what were you laughing about? Do you think?
I don't know. Probably George ate. George made a couple jokes.
George
or whatever,
Conway, so probably future congressional candidate.
W.
Yeah. Oh no, George W. You meant, not George Conway.
W. Yeah. Or else Sophia and I were laughing about something. I don't know, but.
I wanted a couple more jokes at the funeral. Can I give notes on the eulogies?
Please
do. The grandchildren's eulogies were really
amazing.
Great. And W is like a character, so he was just in W character. And Liz was obviously good. I wanted one of them to give me a joke about Dick Cheney accidentally shooting the guy, though.
I know.
I feel like you got to just own it. And there was a prime spot. One of the grandchildren, and again, not to criticize a young person's eulogy for their grandfather, because she was great and I was getting emotional. But she has a line where she's like, whatever they called him, Grandpa Dick, sometimes would let us sit in the front row of the fishing boat and he wouldn't get mad even if we accidentally hooked him with our rod. And I was like, this is the prime spot to say, because he has some experience with that.
Tim, I honest to God, at that exact moment, thought the same thing.
I remember
at one point in the funeral being like, they should joke about him shooting somebody in the face. And it was exactly there. Because it would have been perfect. Like, he hooked some people, but that's all right. He has no place to judge. You shot a guy in the face, right?
Well, if you're doing a eulogy, send your drafts to me and Adam. We'll just make sure you're not missing anything. We've got a bunch to discuss today. I guess we should start with Donald Trump saying that Democratic lawmakers should be, that they have done sedition, and which is punishable by death. That was a bleat that Trump put out. This is in response to something we talked a little bit about with Susan Glasser on yesterday's pod. But in case you missed that, you're supposed to be listening every day. But just in case you missed that, there is a group of Democratic House and Senate veterans who put out a video that was basically saying, to the men and women in uniform, if you get an illegal order, you shouldn't follow it. You should follow your oath and the code of conduct. I played the clip yesterday of Stephen Miller saying this was insurrection. His boss went a little bit further saying this is sedition and punishable by death. I want to hear both your reaction to just the video that the Democratic veterans did as a fellow veteran and the message, and then what you think about Trump.
Yeah, so on the video itself, I think it's fine. I think it's good. It's just the question is in what context. If they're saying it, and I didn't see the whole video, if they were saying like, hey, these current strikes on drug boats, those are illegal and you should refuse to execute it, then I think that's a bridge too far, because you can't put necessarily geopolitical decisions on an individual soldier or airman or whatever.
They did not give that example.
Okay, then good. So then in that case, what they said is not, shouldn't even be controversial. In fact, I tweeted it yesterday. I came home and tweeted, military members should refuse illegal orders. That's basic constitution. The fact, though, that they then jump into, while they're talking about the drug boats, they're talking about what Donald Trump is doing, that says more about the Republicans defending him. The fact is, as a military member, it is your responsibility not to do an illegal order. And that's basic. It shouldn't lead to threats of execution, for God's sakes. On the second part of it, having been at Cheney's funeral and recognizing that probably even 3/4 of the people in there were not Dick Cheney fans, but they were there because they honored the fact that this is a man that, you know, did service to his country. They honored that he was an honorable person.
Rachel Maddow was there, for one example, of somebody yeah. who wasn't, you know, probably
not
the
a
most
huge
aligned.
Dick Cheney fan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then leaving that and seeing this time where there's like the left, the center, and the right, some on the right, not many, you know, all coming together to celebrate this man's life. And then seeing the contrast when I got cell phone reception that Donald Trump's calling for execution, it is just, it was a perfect kind of example, visual example of how far we've fallen. And so I'll say this to the members of Congress that said, you know, to the military members, don't execute an illegal order. Keep saying it. First off, it's your right as an American to say it. Secondly, it is the responsibility of the military to not execute an illegal order, period.
I'm always cautious when I say this because I want the Democrats to do more. I'm always like, do more, try things. Not everything's going to work. And so when I offer some feedback on something they try, I don't want it to mean like, don't do anything or that I'm being a hypocrite. So I want them to do stuff. You know, these folks are veterans, so I trust their judgment on what other members of the military need or want to hear right now. And they're probably hearing more from active duty folks who are worried about the types of orders they're getting, either with regards to, you know, probably mostly with, you know, the military in the streets of our country and posse comitatus. But
yeah,
just as a political matter, there's so many places to go at Trump right now. I'm not sure this is like the sharpest spot to be picking a fight with him on. I've watched that much Fox, but I do watch Fox on the plane when I get an excuse to. So when I was flying up here, I watched it and like a lot of coverage of this on Fox. And that says to me that Fox thinks this is much better turf for them to be discussing than, I don't know, the economy, Epstein, Trump's other behaviors, the war. What do you make of that?
They're looking for any way, I think, to get off what's been going on. Donald Trump's losing his mind. Even the call to execute is losing his mind. So they want to go back to the reason. What was the thing that people felt was inappropriate? Here's where I kind of at the beginning was starting to say where I would have some concerns with how they did it is, you know, when you start saying that, you know, it's up to the individual what an illegal order is. I think you put an unfair burden on your average soldier, right? So first off, if you're in the streets as a National Guardsman, you know, an E3, which is kind of like a basic enlisted or whatever, it is not on you to go through your moral decision matrix to figure out if you being on the streets in DC or in Philadelphia or wherever you end up going is a constitutional order. It is the responsibility of your high-ranking officers, if there's an order like that, where your responsibility comes in as an individual member is if you get an order to shoot an American citizen, right? So something that obvious, if your lieutenant or captain says, hey, you know, Kent State, shoot those protesters or whatever, mm-hmm. that is your responsibility to say no. And so I think we need to be very clear, because the one thing I don't want to do is take a well-meaning kind of, you know, E3, E4 in the Army Guard, have them take some stand that they think is moral that actually really shouldn't have that kind of, you know, really isn't a moral stand, really is not, you know, refusing an illegal order.
I do think Trump's reaction is maybe in part because he thinks this is good ground for him to fight on, but also the stench is on him. And I don't really mean the stench that you were talking about before, about how he literally smells like he literally smells bad.
That's always on him.
So he does literally smell bad, but he also has the lame duck stink starting to get on him in a very real way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sometimes hesitant to do the like, Trump's really losing it now. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's like Trump has always been like kind of crazy and emotional yeah. roller coaster and up and down. But you do look at it and it's like quiet piggy. He yells at a reporter.
Yeah.
He's now yelling at Democrats and saying that they should be killed. It feels like somebody that's flailing right now in his political standing.
Yeah, to me too. I actually put out on my Substack yesterday, shameless pitch, follow me, a 6-minute video after the funeral when I had heard like what had happened. It's like, dude. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of my take is this doesn't mean that Donald Trump is now on a permanent downhill trajectory, but right. I think he feels cornered. This is the first time probably every Republican has voted against him on something. And I don't know if we ever did in the first administration, but certainly this administration on the Epstein list, for instance, he was forced to come out and be like, fine, release it. He's obviously afraid of it coming out. This has obviously set him on a trajectory of kind of like self-destruction or like, you know, fear, whatever it is. And plus, you know, the election results a month ago, the impending election results in a year, the fact that he probably has advisors, if they are advising him, telling him that he has to recognize and say publicly that cost of living is out of control. But he takes that personally, because if he says it's out of control, he's admitting he's at fault.
Right.
And I think all of this has forced him into a corner where he's going to lash out at somebody. And he can't necessarily lash out at every Republican because he still needs them. So he's going to, you know, lash out at a reporter because he's angry, calls her piggy. Or he's going to lash out at Democrats that said to refuse illegal orders because he's angry. And that's where he's displacing his anger. I think you're kind of knee-jerk reaction on that is correct. I think he's very worried. Now, he could come back from this, let's be clear.
Don't you think if Trump was shirtless, he would look kind of like a pig?
Oh,
kind of like distended belly,
yeah,
you know, kind of like that pink skin.
He's got a pig face kind of now. I mean, if you think about it, like the wispy hair is kind of like, pigs have hair. It's like that hair, actually.
Yeah, a little, you know, kind of a little bit of a projection situation.
Yeah.
All right, you know about the neighborhood cat, the boy named Aretha. It's a cat that is after my own heart. It's kind of failing at getting my own heart, but it's after it because we are aligned on the kind of temperature we like. If it just dips below like 72, that's too chilly for me and Aretha. So Aretha will come into the house. So we're getting into the chilly season. And, you know, sometimes the cat will pop out at night. Sometimes we'll stay in the house. It was just the other night, maybe last week, that the cat wanted to get out and was meowing outside my door at like 3 a.m. My husband is sleeping with earplugs in. My child's upstairs snoring. They're the ones that wanted to bring the damn cat inside. So there I am giving the cat some food from our new sponsor and then letting it out. That sponsor is Smalls. For a limited time, you can get 60% off your Smalls order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/thebulwark. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge. And it's delivered right to your door. That's why cats.com named Smalls their best overall cat food. Starting with Smalls is easy. Just share a little bit about your cat's diet, health, and food preferences, and Smalls puts together a personalized sampler for your cat. No more picking between random brands at the store. Smalls has the right food to satisfy any cat's cravings. And, you know, as mentioned, that cat includes Aretha. Aretha likes especially the Smalls treats. They get little treats. I don't know what the difference is because I don't know the difference between regular cat food and cat food treats. But apparently the cat can tell because Aretha, she's a sucker for the treats. Okay. So my daughter wins her over even after she's kind of chasing her around and doing touching stuff that the cat doesn't like. What are you waiting for? Give your cat the food they deserve for a limited time because you are a Bulwark listener. You get 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/thebulwark. One last time, that's 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/thebulwark. On the Epstein stuff, well, I want to talk about there's some emails that came out from Ghislaine Maxwell in jail. She's getting extra toilet paper privileges. So there definitely is something happening there still.
Yeah.
You know, why did she get this special treatment? Why was the guy that Raskin talked to that worked at the prison that was like, I'm tired of being Ghislaine's bitch? So something weird is happening there. And even after now that Trump has folded to MTG and others on the Epstein situation, it still seems like they have some games that they're planning on playing with the actual release. I the cover up is still on, I guess, at some point. But I'm wondering what you think the status is.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's take Ghislaine. I hate when people correct how I say her name.
Like, who gives a
fuck? I don't even think she really deserves. Yeah.
I kind of appreciate Sarah. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but Sarah has just settled on Ghislaine, which is like
that's
very far off. And she's not usually, you know, potty talk. So I don't know if it's just her botching it in a funny way or if it's intentional. I don't want to know. I don't ask her because I don't want her to stop saying it.
Stick with it. Yeah, I think here's the thing with Ghislaine Maxwell. So they have all the files that are going to come out. And I think the big question is, are they going to be redacted? Is there going to be stuff that isn't released? I think there's enough public pressure on this now that if there is stuff redacted or if there is stuff that doesn't come out, that's going to be known and the pressure is going to ratchet up more. Okay, so there is whatever is going to be in the files that's going to be out. But the one thing that they know is that Ghislaine Maxwell can probably do far more than the files can. She probably, in theory, could testify, I saw Donald Trump or I communicated with Donald Trump or whatever, and is very clear that I don't think there's anybody that honestly doubts she's going to get a commutation or a pardon. I think it's pretty clear. It may come at the end of Trump's term. Why would you do that except that she could take you down? unless you have an affection for child sex traffickers. If you have an affection for child sex traffickers, okay. Otherwise, the only reason is because you're protecting yourself. And I think that's the big question. And again, it's not just that they're entertaining commutation or pardon. She was actively moved to, you know, from a prison perspective, a really nice place. Like, if you and I were in prison, it's where we'd want to go. And, yeah.
She's getting the triple ply on the toilet paper now.
I mean, dude, my hotel here doesn't even have triple ply. Yeah. And if you're President Trump and you know that she can bury you, you're willing to take the hit of a pardon or a commutation to protect that information.
Like, the real truth is, I think Trump doesn't even fucking remember.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't know what she knows. Yeah. The only part of his spin that is accurate, we don't know exactly what the reason was because he's told 90 different stories, but like, he did stop becoming friends with Epstein. So like, in these latest rounds of emails, they're not hanging out because they weren't hanging out for whatever reason in the late teens. So like, their friendship was in the first round of Epstein, like before he went to jail the first time for being a pedo. And that, you know, is 25 years ago now. It'd be kind of like a reporter calling me and saying, hey, your buddy from college is dropping a cache of texts that you sent him like 25 years ago. I'd be like, I hope not. I don't know what's in there. Maybe I didn't do anything.
I just got
but there's
got
to be something bad
that,
in there. I don't even know. So I think that's probably where Trump's mind is on her, right? It's like, he doesn't fucking remember exactly. He knows he did that, and he knows that there were young girls around all the time. He said it. It's possible he didn't remember that birthday card legitimately because they were friends. They were hanging out. They were creepy. And like, that was just the life that he led for like a decade. Mm-hmm. So the details are probably a little fuzzy. That would be my guess.
I think it's true, but also like, he's scared of something because I've never seen him this scared.
That's true.
Mean,
well, but he's seen some stuff in the share files because they showed it to him. They've shown him something.
Yep.
Yeah, in the share files.
And plus they had like DOJ count the number of times his name's mentioned.
Yeah,
I would not want my name 1,000 times in the Epstein files. That's just me though.
Have you seen Megyn Kelly's latest defense? She's out with a new one today. She's out with a new one today. She's off the ephebophilia defense, and now she's on to – they're coming after Trump on this, and the only thing they've got is this woman that Epstein brought to his office, and he groped her. And I'm like, that's it? I was like, that's bad as it is. Like, he was a child sex trafficker, came to his office with a young woman who was of age, and he groped her. That's sexual assault. That is bad. But Megan, that's where Megan's landing right now.
As much as I'm in like shock about how bad the Republican Party has gotten still, I'm in as much shock that Megyn Kelly is who she is right now. Like when she was at Fox, she was like kind of reasonable, right? She was all for
Fox. Yeah.
She's the one.
And then at NBC, she went woke.
Yeah.
She was doing like trans youth episodes.
Yeah, it's crazy. It just goes to show like the thing I have a lot of respect for anybody who argue something that believes it, okay? I can't stand Rand Paul's politics, but I think he really believes it, and I respect that he believes it, okay?
Yeah.
What I can't take are people that know better, you know, like a Mike Johnson, like a Megyn Kelly, Marco Rubio, for God's sake.
The whole Senate, basically.
Yeah, basically everybody. And I don't understand Megyn. I mean, she is now – maybe the money is so good that she has to try to out-crazy everybody else. But to sit there and at one point even say, you know, 15, I mean, come on, guys. 15 is not that bad. How that even comes out of her mouth, I don't know. But she's got to live with that. I'm sure she feels guilt, but she'll never express that because you can't express sorrow in MAGA or you're woke.
What a great transition to the topic I was most excited to talk to you about.
Oh, good.
Which is your old friend, Marge. You were in Congress with her, right? Marjorie Taylor Greene? Yeah. You're together. So you've met, you've like hung out.
I'm not going to go with hung out. Yeah. But I know her a little bit.
You've chatted.
Yeah.
Like I've never chatted with, like a lot of the people we talk about is more like I know a lot of the people because I was a Republican, you know,
yeah.
But like she was after my era.
Yep.
So I didn't hang out with her ever, but you have at least spoken. You guys have spoken about something besides work.
We've communicated before.
Okay,
we've communicated, but not like she's not a pal.
Got it. Okay.
But I'll give you what I can.
You you tweeted, I don't have it in front of me, something to the extent of you're going to have a bunch of I told you so's coming when Marjorie Taylor Greene goes back to her old ways. So you're not as excited about it as maybe me and JVL. I think I would put her in the camp of the Rand Paul, though, of somebody that's saying what she believes.
Uh-oh.
No?
Come on, Tim. You're better than this. Listen, I think with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think it's all a scam. I mean, I think there is definitely a political decision.
You don't think she's authentically crazy?
Oh, yeah, she is that. She is that. But I think, like, there's rumor that what Donald Trump chose not to support her for governor or Senate. I think that could cause something. Or she could, and I'll give her this a little credit, which is like she could see the tea leaves, which is like Trump is going away. If I want to run for president or governor or whatever, I'm going to have – if I can be the former crazy that now is normal, that – I mean, it's not a bad tactic, to be honest with you, because you'll maintain credit with the crazies. I think you were talking the other day about, like, she's one in theory that could take on Donald Trump and win because she has a street cred. And then if she's, like, now normal, she could win some of the normals. I just think she was not sitting around one day, read a certain passage of the Bible, and realized that everything she was doing in Congress was wrong, right? Until she comes out and says, and this is what drives me nuts, is not a single that I've seen reporter has asked her, tell me your thoughts on January 6th now. What do you think January 6th was? Did Donald Trump win the 2020 election or did he lose? And if she starts coming clean on that stuff and like...
Maybe she genuinely believes the election was stolen.
Well, yeah, then that just tells you everything you need to know. But she doesn't believe it. Like, I think she's actually smart. I think she knows better. But... until she starts kind of what I will call repenting a little for her past instead of just saying, you know, what, that I'm not buying it. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I want to be honest. I hope I'm wrong. I hope she really did find politics Jesus. And I am all for this like inner party battle that's occurring now.
Yeah.
What I worry about is everybody's going to start really believing that Marjorie Taylor Greene's good. And then she's going to like, you know, flip double birds at the camera one day and be like, I was trolling all of you. I can't believe you're that stupid. Right.
I want to listen to a little bit of Marjorie Taylor Greene because I want to believe, baby. I want to believe. Let's listen.
I was called a traitor by a man that I fought for six years for. And I gave him my loyalty for free. I won my first election without his endorsement, beating 8 men in a primary. And I've never owed him anything, but I fought for him for the policies and for America first. And he called me a traitor for standing with these women and refusing to take my name off the discharge petition. Let me tell you what a traitor is. A traitor is an American that serves foreign countries and themselves. Okay. A patriot is an American that serves the United States of America and Americans like the women standing behind me.
Are you ready? Are you ready to hear the patriotic string music going?
No. No. This is the same woman probably that thinks Zelensky is like the worst person, doesn't care if Russia invades and destroys Ukraine. The same person who, let me tell you about my experience with Donald Trump. I could tell you, but you know, you guys all know my experience with Donald Trump. I'm sorry that he was a meanie head to you. You've been a meanie head to a lot of people, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
I'm sorry Trump was a meanie head to you. And let's remember, where were we 6 months ago? We were sitting around talking about how Elon Musk may be the new savior now because he's fighting with Donald Trump. And now he's in the Oval Office, you know, laying on the ground to Donald Trump. And
the only thing that's different with the Elon thing is I think that most of us were just enjoying the cat fight, you know, like we just want like we're just enjoying the show kind of more than I actually like. I don't think anybody is like, you know, Elon's really turned a corner. I don't even know if Marjorie's turned a corner. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know if she keeps saying good things, I'm gonna be like, great, let's keep listening, let's keep hearing them.
Yeah, okay, right. So I've got a good middle ground for us. Let's appreciate the thing she says.
Okay.
Let's honor the thing she says.
Honor. Okay. Wow, that's pretty far even.
Yeah, I'm good with saying honor the thing she says. But let's not believe it.
Okay. That's fine.
Let's
with you.
Honor the chaos and not believe it.
All right.
And I hope I'm wrong. But maybe I'm not.
Hope. Yeah, hope instead of believe. Okay, we've landed in an area of agreement.
She's been thinking about this sleepover all week, but I think about her food allergies all the time. Fortunately, her doctor prescribes Xolair, omalizumab. It's proven to significantly reduce allergic reactions if a food allergy accident happens.
Xolair 150 milligrams is a prescription medication used to treat food allergy in people 1 year of age and older to reduce allergic reactions due to accidental exposure to one or more foods. While taking Xolair, you should continue to avoid all foods to which you are allergic. Don't use if you are allergic to Xolair. Xolair may cause a severe, life-threatening allergic reaction called anaphylaxis. Tell your doctor if you ever had anaphylaxis. Get help right away if you have trouble breathing or if you have swelling of your throat or tongue. Xolair should not be used for the emergency treatment of allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis. Xolair is for maintenance use to reduce allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis, while avoiding food allergens. Serious side effects such as cancer, fever, muscle aches and rash, parasitic infection, or heart and circulation problems have been reported. Please see Xolair.com for full prescribing information. Ask an allergist about Xolair. This is an advertisement for Xolair paid for by Genentech and Novartis.
Ah, greetings from my bath, festive friends. The holidays are overwhelming, but I'm tackling this season with PayPal and making the most of my money. Getting 5% cash back when I pay in four. No fees, no interest. I used it to get this portable spa with jets. Now the bubbles can cling to my sculpted but pruny body. Make the most of your money this holiday with PayPal. Save the offer in the app.
Ends 12/31. See paypal.com/promo terms. Points can be redeemed for cash and more. Pay in four, subject to terms and approval. PayPal Inc. and MLS 910457.
I want to talk about one other Hill thing. I've been dying to talk about this all week, and I just haven't really had an appropriate guest for it. I don't know if you are either, so this might end up just being a Tim rant, but I have to talk about it before the week is out. Have you been following the Chewy Garcia situation
yes.
at all? And this is kind of near you in, yeah. in a district.
This is so an Illinois thing, too, by the way.
Yeah, you probably knew him pretty well. Yeah. Did you know him a little bit? Just a little bit.
But this is Democratic machine politics. I'll let you explain it, and then I do have thoughts.
Yeah, so for people who haven't been following this, it's a longtime Democratic operative, Hispanic in Chicago. As you said, it's like one of the few left of like traditional machine politics. Like you know, work your way up. You're the alderman, you're the whatever. And then eventually, you know, you become the member of Congress. In this case, he decides he's going to retire. He tells his chief of staff, gives the chief of staff a heads up that he's going to retire so that the chief of staff can go out and get the, I think it's 2,500 signatures necessary to get on the ballot. They do that under the radar. The chief of staff files right before the deadline to file for Congress, right? So it's like nobody else can get in the race after a certain point, which is just as a quick aside, it's insane that it's this early in Illinois. But you should be able to file for Congress like up to four yeah. months before the yeah. election or something, you know, whatever you need to just get the ballots done. But yeah. anyway, so in Illinois, you have to file by a year out. And the chief of staff gets in, doesn't tell anybody. The deadline passes. Chewy Garcia says he's retiring. So now the chief of staff is the only person in the race. There's no primary. This is an outrage.
It is. It is. So I didn't know this happened. And then there was the Democratic member who spoke about it on the floor. And I'm like, you know, there's all this like Civil War censure stuff going on in the House right now. And I'm like, wait, there's some blue on blue action going on here. What's going on? And I read the story and it's outrageous, but this happens all the time in Illinois, Tim. This was probably less so now, but particularly when it comes to like state reps and state senators, you would always get this where the state senator, it was bad among Republicans too, by the way. This wasn't, you know, Republicans yeah. used to have power in Illinois and they did it too.
And there's an example of this in a Florida district too, of a Republican doing this recently.
Yeah.
So this is not, you know, so it has happened.
Yep. You just handpick your successor. Because probably what happened, the chief of staff literally was at the State Board of Elections probably 1 minute before filing closed and turned it in. And you get a stamp, you know, it'll say like 4:59 p.m., whatever, probably closed at 5. So literally nobody else could have gotten in. And then, of course, you can withdraw your name off the ballot up to a certain period of time. So this is outrageous. And, you know, I hope there's a Democrat that runs a write-in campaign because I think this is outrageous enough that they actually may have a shot. Probably not, but like, yeah, this is what happens when you have this, like, this entitled feeling in politics. And you get it.
Yes.
It happens a lot among Democrats in Illinois, but it's like, it really exists on both parties right now where people just feel entitled to a seat. I left 12 years, you know, after 12 years in Congress, and it's amazing how many people tell me that they think that was early. Do I wish I'd have stayed for 20 or 30 years? Like, not really. I mean, 12 years, it's hard to stay passionate for the job for 12 years. But yeah, there's people in there 30, 40 years and they just feel entitled to it. You represent 700,000 people. The chances that somebody is in your district that's better than you is pretty good. I mean, yeah. If we're being honest here.
Yeah. You know, especially just in the context of what we're doing now, like Democrats trying to take the mantle of democracy, being like, we're fighting for democracy. And it's just like, not to get on a high horse too much or anything, but like, this isn't democracy. Like this is not an English lordship. You get to pass down the seat to your nephew if you want to.
And it would be, it would still be an outrage, but it would be different if it was like a state senator that he put there or right. a state representative. He put a staffer.
Unelected,
who has never been elected by the people of that district.
Yes.
At least a state rep maybe had been elected by 120,000 people of that district, had been through elected politics. It's egregious. And I hope you feel shame for it, honestly.
I do too. So I do want to say, so the member you mentioned was Marie Glusenkamp-Perez, who I'm a fan of, that she was the one that brought a censure to the floor on this. The Democrats freak out, and it's not really down ideological lines. Like it's, for some reason, the Progressive Caucus gets really defensive of Garcia, and like one member from Illinois, I'm forgetting her name, like says that Marie Glusenkamp-Perez is like giving aid and comfort to the authoritarians by doing this. So I'm like, what are you talking? You are the authoritarian. Like you're the one that is subverting democracy. And then Hakeem Jeffries came out in defense of Garcia. And so a bunch of the establishment types did as well. And so I said on Twitter that there were 26 Dems that sided with Marie Glusenkamp-Perez and said this was bad. I said, we'll be doing a montage set to some soft string music in their honor later this week on the pod, a group that is ideologically diverse that actually opposes bad things, opposes anti-democratic actions when they happen on their own side. A couple of the names, some of the faves who've been on, Jake Auchincloss, Angie Craig, Sharice Davids might in Kansas, important seat over there, Greg Landsman, Ohio.
Nice.
We really like him. Yeah. Vindman, Alex Vindman's brother's in Congress. You forgot about that. He's there. Pat Ryan, my boy Pat Ryan, and some others. So appreciate all of them.
Shout out to all of you.
Shout out. Three presents. I'll take a present. As long as it wasn't a no. We got a present from Suha Submarmanium. No. You're not a present guy?
No. It's weak. Present is so weak. In fact, when I got to Congress, I remember I wanted to vote present on something because I didn't. This was a hard decision. And it was like Boehner or somebody that's like, kid, you never vote present on anything. As he took a drag of his cigarette. So no, I only ever voted present on like a quorum call. That's it. Be a man. Be a woman.
Well, vote. What do you think about this? I think that if I went to Congress, I would just say at the front that I am not voting on any non-binding resolutions.
Yeah,
non-binding resolutions are not real. Yeah. It's in the name. It's non-binding. It's a tweet. It's just a tweet on a piece of paper. And so if you want my opinion about something, I'll tweet about your. I'll tweet and let you know my opinion or put out a press release or post on your app of choice. There are a lot of non-binding, like, oh, we're going to condemn this or condemn that. It's like... What is what's the point of that?
Yeah, okay. I could see it. If you go in there and you're like, I'm going to vote present on stupid things, I'd be for that. Listen, my very first kind of big bill in Congress was H.R. 1. It was this, Boehner's basically like has this open rule for all spending for Congress. So we were there like a month and everybody could present whatever thing they wanted. It was painful. But I would vote no on like really stupid things. Like some of the people in my caucus be like, we're going to take $10,000 from the White House lighting bill and put it to the deficit reduction fund. And I would vote no on all that stuff. That's also how I got the reputation of being the Republican least likely to cut spending. Hmm. But I had the same approach. I'm like, I'm not going to vote yes for stupid messaging amendments. But it cost me.
She's been thinking about this sleepover all week, but I think about her food allergies all the time. Fortunately, her doctor prescribed Xolair, omalizumab. It's proven to significantly reduce allergic reactions if a food allergy accident happens.
Xolair 150 milligrams is a prescription medication used to treat food allergy in people 1 year of age and older to reduce allergic reactions due to accidental exposure to one or more foods. While taking Xolair, you should continue to avoid all foods to which you are allergic. Don't use if you are allergic to Xolair. Xolair may cause a severe, life-threatening allergic reaction called anaphylaxis. Tell your doctor if you ever had anaphylaxis. Get help right away if you have trouble breathing or if you have swelling of your throat or tongue. Xolair should not be used for the emergency treatment of allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis. Xolair is for maintenance use to reduce allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis, while avoiding food allergens. Serious side effects such as cancer, fever, muscle aches and rash, parasitic infection, or heart and circulation problems have been reported. Please see Xolair.com for full prescribing information. Ask an allergist about Xolair. This is an advertisement for Xolair paid for by Genentech and Novartis.
Ah, greetings from my bath, festive friends. The holidays are overwhelming, but I'm tackling this season with PayPal and making the most of my money. Getting 5% cash back when I pay in four. No fees, no interest. I used it to get this portable spa with jets. Now the bubbles can cling to my sculpted but pruny body. Make the most of your money this holiday with PayPal. Save the offer in the app.
Ends 12/31. See paypal.com/promo. Terms. Points can be redeemed for cash and more. Pay in four, subject to terms and approval. PayPal Inc. and MLS 910457.
Some other news. I want to talk about the Russia-Ukraine deal. These guys are, it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on the Ukraine-Russia stuff. Yeah, like what the hell?
Oh,
you never know. I guess it's kind of cyclical. Yeah, where it's like, oh, we're siding with Russia now. And then it's like everybody kind of has to rub their bellies again and remind them like, no, actually, we're not on Russia's side. Russia's the bad guy. And then they start to come around. And then Trump's like, oh, actually, maybe I'm really for Ukraine even more than I've ever been. And I'm going to give them weapons now. And that happens for a week. And then that starts to die down. And it's like, wait, I'm on Russia's side again. We're back to the Russia side of the cycle. The Washington Post this morning, White House is pressuring Ukraine to sign on to its new peace proposal by Thanksgiving or lose U.S. support to the country. I find this kind of weird that like we've chosen the Thanksgiving deadline. like the people in Ukraine care about Thanksgiving. It's like, oh, you mean you're putting the future of our country on the line. You're giving us a deadline of the day that you weirdos mass murder a bunch of turkeys.
Yep.
I don't really understand how that's relevant to my war. But Marco Rubio put out a statement. Ending a complex and deadly war such as the one in Ukraine requires an extensive exchange of serious and realistic ideas. Blah, 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 blah. We went through the ideas yesterday. It was Glasser. But I mean, it's basically a Russia wish list.
Yeah, totally. And here's what drives me nuts. So Republicans will, some of them will oppose this, right? They'll say this is bad, but they won't blame Trump for it. They'll say Steve Witkoff, right? Or, you know, who Michael Weiss calls Dim Philby, which I like.
Love that.
You know, and there's this like Witkoff versus Kellogg versus whatever thing in the administration. Ultimately, Donald Trump is responsible for this. Let's just be clear. He always defaults back to Russia. So him expressing any like, you know, affection for Ukraine is the exception. Affection for Russia is the rule. And let's just, it's always like that. So what this plan is, and you guys went over the points of it, but it's basically a surrender for Ukraine, who is winning this war. I mean, you know, look, both sides are, you know, they're like boxers in the 10th round that are barely standing up, but Ukraine is winning this fight. And I think Ukraine has to be the one willing to say what conditions they're willing to have peace for. And I always knew it. So, you know, there's this corruption scandal in Ukraine right now, which is terrible. And that's a moment where the Trump administration is like, I think we can get them because they're weak. So I think that's why they've kind of come in with now. But I was thinking about this. I'm like, yeah, there is a corruption scandal in Ukraine, which sucks. It's terrible. But the corruption scandal going on in the United States, like, makes that look like nothing. We have a president that basically had Saudi Arabia here. And it's probably going to build a number of Trump hotels now. I think probably part of the unspoken deal of a deal with Ukraine will be a Trump hotel in Moscow. He's always wanted that. You know, $2 billion. We could go through all the corruption, a free jet from Qatar.
We're doing a hotel in Vietnam, UAE, Dubai.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, everywhere.
Everywhere Donald Trump goes, his kids just happen to follow. He's not involved in the business, so they just happen to follow. And so the corruption here is incredible. You know, it'll be interesting to see what I think is likely is this will be rejected, or this will be the beginning of like kind of back and forth negotiations. And the question is, will Donald Trump actually cut off U.S. support? The most important thing he needs to do is not even weapons, because Ukraine's been able to step up on weapons, is like the intel sharing piece. That's really important.
Well, we'll talk about the economic stuff, because I think as much as maybe even more than Epstein, the economic situation is what's underlying Donald Trump's unraveling. Another jobs report. We did gain jobs, but it was only in the healthcare and social assistance sectors again. I guess maybe a little bit in leisure and hospitality. Private sector employment has declined in each of the last 5 months outside of healthcare, basically. We've got taking care of old people, cryptocurrency, AI data centers, and private prisons holding up our rickety economy right now. I don't want to pretend like I'm an expert on what's happening with the Bitcoin market. But something that I did notice from back during when inflation was going up back after COVID is that like all of these fake products started to do really well. Mm. You know, you remember the NFTs, the fake basketball cards, the digital cards, and the digital monkeys and stuff. Like when people had a lot of cash and had a lot of time on their hands, like those assets were going up. And right now, I just think it's noteworthy that Bitcoin is crashing in the last week or even a little more. And that tells me that that's possibly an indicator that people are like, ugh, you know, not secure about their finances, right? And they're like, you don't have as much interest in the play money when things are getting tight. So that might be an indicator. There could be some other things going on, but just across the board, things are looking pretty rough, and they don't really seem to have a plan. Like, the other thing that jumped out to me is John Kennedy was on the floor yesterday, basically like, we need to do another reconciliation bill to help with get people money. Like, that sounds desperate.
Yeah, I mean, look, John Kennedy probably did is like, we need to get a wagon ride of money to the people in their hay straw, you know, like that stuff. Yeah. Like, I hate that.
Yeah, it's like, you were a Rhodes Scholar, sir. Yeah, please, quit. Don't just stop with the Foghorn Leghorn.
Just stop. That's like Tim Burchett in Tennessee, too, does that. And I'm like, come on, man. He said, like, biscuit wheels on a gravy train. Like, yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Anyway, I hate that stuff.
You're the true Yankee, Adam Kinzinger. You've moved down to Texas. This is why the people in Texas, it's going to be an issue for you if you ever decide you want to go after run against Ted Cruz in 2 years. You got to start to have a little bit more appreciation for Landman. What's the show that's the West Texas show right now?
Yeah, Landman. Okay, so on the Bitcoin stuff, yes, I think you're right. It's like, Bitcoin is like the most not real asset, right? And I don't want to get into the debate on it because it is real, but it was kind of an invented asset, right? It's not backed by anything except its scarcity. That's the only thing that backs it. And then stock, actually risky, yes, but you actually have a tangible asset with stock. And I think as people get nervous, they pull away from those like things that they're a little scared of. Right. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think the Great Gatsby party that the Trumps did, It was almost like too perfect for what we actually feel like we're in. I mean, it does feel a little bit like we may be coming to the end of this kind of decade or two of just kind of crazy prosperity where we're literally inventing stuff. I want to invent, you know, flubigation and then make it worth $100,000 and then just sell it to people, even though it's not real. That's what crypto is. And so, it feels like we're coming to the end of that. One of the things that's frightening to me, by the way, and I just thought of this, and this is probably off topic, but I think it's important to mention so I don't forget, the betting markets on politics are really frightening to me. Hmm. I was looking at them the other day, and like every vote coming up in Congress, you can bet on how a member of Congress will vote, yes or no. Now imagine if you're that member of Congress, like me, let's say Adam Kinzinger's still in, and I can go vote on Adam Kinzinger, and let's say the odds are 97% that I'm going to vote yes, but I put $1,000 on 3% that I'm going to vote no, and then I vote no. Like, guarantee you that stuff's happening, Tim. And the question about like tariffs, when are the tariffs going to be lifted? Before June 30th or after June 30th? But weirdly, the odds always shift right before that. And by the way, I think Don Jr. or Eric is on like the board of Kalshi, the betting site.
And this ties right into the crypto stuff too, which is like Barron supposedly, I mean, like there's reporting out there, has made obscene amounts of money betting. Insane. On, you know, when Trump's doing those announcements about like, oh, I'm going to do the crypto reserve or whatever. And then Barron is putting money in. Barron also has a cut of the Trump coin. You know, it's not even just Don Jr. and Eric. Like, this is definitely happening. Did you see the Kalshi? My girl Jillian Kent over at CBS did an interview with the Kalshi founders or CEOs or whatever. I'll put a link in the show notes because it's pretty funny. Like, Don Jr.'s on their board.
Yeah.
So Kalshi, for people who don't know, is these betting markets that Adam's talking about where you can bet on, but you know, sports and politics, just random things that happen, like who's going to be the next LSU coach or whatever. You know, like there's you can bet on a bunch of different stuff. And she was asking them about that. Like, why is Don Jr. on your board? And like watching them stammer and stutter and try to just be like, well, you know, like we just need expertise from people who are champions. And it's like, okay, like something's up. Like something, we don't know exactly what's up, but something is up.
And you also see like these companies, I know of one specifically, I don't know the name, and I guess I probably shouldn't say if I did, but like they were getting ready to go public and magically Eric and Don's hedge fund buys into it before it goes public, right before they get board seats, and then it goes public. I mean, if you could invest and get private shares right before they go public, you'd be the richest guy in the world. And that's what the deal is. So if you're a startup and you're like, hey, we can bring in Don and Eric and guarantee that we'll be successful. We just got to do this little thing. You would do it. Who wouldn't, right? But the betting market stuff, I mean, I think we're going to find out, because I don't think you have to identify who you are when you bet on this stuff. And, or you could do it on, we're going to find out that there are members of Congress betting on their own actions. And it's one thing to sports bet on yourself, which I think is illegal. It's another to do it when it comes to voting. That is corrupt.
Well, we don't have a public corruption unit anymore in the Department of Justice. So that's pretty noteworthy. But I got to tell you, if and when the Democrats take back the House next year, I'm just going to be like a dog on a bone on these guys about how the oversight stuff has to be an absolute immediate priority. Looking into Don Jr. and these businesses, making all of these businesses that they've invested in since Trump has gotten back on come before Congress, subpoenaing them, holding them in contempt if they don't. And here's the thing, people then say to me when I say this, like, well, Trump will just pardon all of them. It's like, well, I don't know. Are they doing any state crimes? I think if we start, if Congress starts investigating them, you know, and then you find that some of this inappropriate behavior is happening, you know, in California, New York, right? Like this stuff can be referred to attorneys general, Democratic attorneys general in some of these states. So,
and even if not, like, getting this stuff out there is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
And this is why it's important for Democrats to talk about this now is, there are people making decisions today in government about whether to be corrupt or not. And if they know that they have maybe another year of free reign and then they're going to be held to account, they're much less likely than if they think they have 3 years of free reign and then they're going to get pardoned by Trump, right? So this is an important thing for the Democrats to hear, which is, yes, affordability is the number one issue. I'm not saying do this around that, but as part of that, talk about how you're going to have hearings about Qatar and the jet. You're going to have hearings about domestics, and you will help to at least discourage, I think, future corruption. And you're also letting the American people know the contrast of what you are compared to this corrupt administration, which is beyond ICE. This is beyond any corruption.
ICE, we're going to investigate the FBI agents that have been reviewing the Epstein files, and were asked to flag Donald Trump stuff. We're going to be coming for you, the crypto people, everybody doing business with Don and Eric. The Democrats are coming. Watch out. Oversight's coming for you.
Yeah. And like ICE, by the way, you read about the shooting of that woman where the ICE agent was bragging that 5 shots, 7 holes. Like, okay, that's the kind of stuff we need to put in front of the American people, right? So they know.
She's been thinking about this sleepover all week, but I think about her food allergies all the time. Fortunately, her doctor prescribed Xolair, omalizumab. It's proven to significantly reduce allergic reactions if a food allergy accident happens.
Xolair 150 milligrams is a prescription medication used to treat food allergy in people 1 year of age and older to reduce allergic reactions due to accidental exposure to one or more foods. While taking Xolair, you should continue to avoid all foods to which you are allergic. Don't use if you are allergic to Xolair. Xolair may cause a severe, life-threatening allergic reaction called anaphylaxis. Tell your doctor if you ever had anaphylaxis. Get help right away if you have trouble breathing or if you have swelling of your throat or tongue. Xolair should not be used for the emergency treatment of allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis. Xolair is for maintenance use to reduce allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis, while avoiding food allergens. Serious side effects such as cancer, fever, muscle aches and rash, parasitic infection, or heart and circulation problems have been reported. Please see Xolair.com for full prescribing information. Ask an allergist about Xolair. This is an advertisement for Xolair paid for by Genentech and Novartis.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on your gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on December 2nd. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
We got a little off topic. I had one other economy thing I can't skip over because I think I got a B minus in Econ 101. So I'm not an expert on identifying recession trends. But I think this might be a recession indicator. Over on Fox, they were discussing Christmas plans and the state of the economy. And I want to play a little clip.
Also remember, adults don't need gifts, okay? Focus on the people in your life who are age 3 to 18. Grandma doesn't need slippers. If they don't live by you, don't get them a gift. Now's not the time to spend and break the bank sending packages across the country, Dana. Focus on the people in your life ages 3 to 18.
The Trump economy. Grandma doesn't need slippers anymore.
Dana's the one that continues to surprise me because
that wasn't actually Dana that just said Dana was interviewing the other. Yeah.
I mean, that's so tone deaf. It's crazy. I mean, it really is. It's like, that's the equivalent, really, of like Elon Musk also telling people that, it sucks to be poor. Just don't buy things, right? Like, just don't spend money. And all these people on Fox that are wealthy that have done everything to put Trump in place and promote him and promote him, his politics, are now just like, everything is great. Just don't buy stuff for people and you'll be good, right? Like, isn't Christmas supposed to be about sharing and joy? Didn't the woke liberals kill Christmas in the past? And now it's the right trying to kill Christmas? My God, Christmas is under attack from all sides, Tim. We have to, there's a war.
Christmas is definitely under attack from Donald Trump right now. You can only have two or three toys if you're a little girl.
Yeah.
Because, and the tariffs or the dolls. You only need two or three dolls. You don't need more. And grandma, you're sticking with the holy slippers you got. We can't afford.
The war on Christmas is in full swing and it's the right this time.
It's coming from MAGA. As mentioned earlier, you live in Texas now. Do you have any hot takes on the Texas Senate race that's developing? Either side?
Not really. Look, I like Colin Allred a lot just because I know him.
Yeah.
And I think he actually ran a good campaign, given it was not the best year, obviously, Ted Cruz.
One thing on Colin, because I do think that I understand people have a bad taste in their mouth about 2024
and want
to move forward and want to have fresh people and ideas. And like there's a we're not going back element to this that I totally relate to. But I do think sometimes he's like slandered when people assess that race because he did lose by more points than like Beto had or whatever. But the environment was horrible.
He outperformed
that wasn't
Harris.
Really his fault. He ran, I think, 8 points ahead of Harris.
Yeah,
eight points.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, had it been a closer election, That maybe could have been in play. So I don't know. Anyway, that's just my thoughts on Colin.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's been unfairly hit with that. I liked Terry Virts, who was going to run. He's backing out of that race, and he's running for Congress now, which is very smart. But he's was a commander of the space station, astronaut, great dude. I think he has a shot, actually, at winning the House. And the Tallarico, look, I mean, obviously, I've seen all his videos and stuff. He's an amazing speaker.
Yeah.
The thing I worry about, he has to address – and I think he's probably in the catbird seat to win, is he has said things like, from what I understand, things like God is non-binary, stuff like that.
Right.
And I got to tell you, folks, you can get mad at me for saying this. That don't play in Texas. So you're going to – even among Democrats. So he's going to have to figure out how to walk through that. But he is well-spoken.
Our God in Texas has a huge slong. Okay? In Texas,
yeah, that's right.
God is a man
and
he ranches.
He's packing. He ranches and he can rope you. God is a rancher. But the other thing is, here's the question. I don't know the answer to this. Does his good speakingness come across as genuine? If he can tie that with genuineness, he's going to be great. But I think people right now, the biggest trait they look for is genuineness. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Jasmine.
Yeah.
He's talking about getting in. Jasmine Crockett.
That would be interesting. That would be a whole new dynamic. Yeah. She's really good at the attacks and speaking and everything.
She's good at going after Trump.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think that I'd have some concerns with her in a Senate race in Texas. I think statewide viability.
I think a primary right now in Texas for Democrats is probably the best thing.
Yeah.
Because it's going to shake out all these different theories. And Texas Democrats, I think, understand that, you know, generally they don't need to put the most, you know, liberal firebrand out there because they actually want to win Texas. So I think they kind of get the game.
What about the other side? How are you assessing Paxton, Cornyn, and then Wesley Hunt is now a third?
Yeah, I think it's – so here's the thing. It's possible Hunt could actually pull a sneaker here because people are scared of Paxton, you know, the other dude, John Cornyn. They, you know, obviously they think he's too liberal or whatever. So Hunt may pull that little sneaker, but I think right now it's probably – still Paxton, because again, the Republican Party, and particularly in Texas, it's like whoever the craziest is will get my vote, and that's usually how it is.
All right, the movie. I'm going to admit I haven't watched it. Okay,
come on.
I have a lot of time with you, okay? And I have to watch Candace and Steve Bannon, you know, to know what's happening over there. And I need the Nuggets. I got to watch the Nuggets. And life is busy, but I'm going to watch it. But what? So I'm coming in blind. Many of the listeners are coming in blind. And this is, you know, why we have to encourage them to watch it. So give us the pitch.
So it's called The Last Republican. You can get it on like Amazon Prime, Apple, Google. And it's like multi-layers, I would say. So it goes over the January 6th stuff. So they followed me during all the hearing. You actually get some really cool video from the floor of the 6th, like cinematic. It's the only that exists. But it's also a story between me and the director, Steve Pink, who did Hot Tub Time Machine. He's very far left. And so we have this like kind of fun interaction where we, and it was unintentional, where we kind of like make fun of each other, but we grow to really respect each other. And I think it's a great human story. And then you see the human story of, you know, just me, Sophia, and what it's like to go through what we went through at the same time having a baby, for God's sakes, right? Yeah. Like all these changes. You will not regret watching it. I promise you that. It got amazing rates. It's got like 80 or 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's a good pitch.
Yeah. I'm watching it. It's only an hour and a half, so you're not going to get – and it's fun. It's funny. The Last Republican. Go watch it. I will know if you don't. And if you don't, like, we're not friends anymore, Tim.
Really?
Yeah.
We're not friends. Serious. It's over. I've got to spend 90. You're assigning me 90 minutes of homework.
I am.
You know, I was a little contrarian SOB as a young man. If you assign me homework and say I have to do something, I will not do it out of principle.
Okay. Let me incentivize you in a better way. Okay. There are pictures of me as a 12-year-old with Republican yard signs. Okay. So how about that? You think you were a dork? I've got some good pictures.
You are dorkier than me? Okay. Yep. Finding dorky Adam pictures is a good incentive. I will watch it. What was it like having like the cameras around all the time? Did you feel like you're able to be natural?
It was an interesting thing because I made it a point to try to be natural because like I'm like, I don't want to do this and perform for the camera. I want this to be genuine. And I didn't love having cameras around because unlike some people, I'm not one that like, you know, loves walking around and having all this attention and cameras where I look like I'm producing something and feel cool. But we barreled through it. And I'm glad we did because it's just, like I said, it's good from a historical perspective, from a personal perspective. And we wanted to be able to show that to our son, Christian. And I think when he's old enough to appreciate it, it'll be cool.
That is really cool for him. Yeah. I don't know. When I was doing the circus, it was harder than I thought to be natural initially. Like there was definitely a learning curve there of you can't control it. Like I found myself like using a voice or something. And I'm like, that's not my voice. Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Why am I talking like that?
Yeah. Or I would have like where they're there and like a friend would come over to the office and I'd be like, hey, just so you know, there's cameras here. So they're not like, you know, saying things that we would not want out there. Like that kind of stuff.
Oh, what kind of stuff might they be saying?
I don't know. You know, things and stuff. So
gossip stuff. Yeah. All right, brother. It's good to see you yesterday at the funeral.
Yeah, you too, man.
Thanks for coming on the podcast. Appreciate you. We'll be doing it again soon. Everybody go watch it. The movie's The Last Republican. You can find Kinzinger over on Substack as well. And we'll be back. Wait, what day is today? I've had a long ass week, bro. It's Friday.
Friday.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, then we'll see you Monday with Bill Kristol. Bye, everybody. I'm coming up only to hold you under. And coming up only to show you wrong. To know you is hard, we wonder. To know you all wrong, we wonder. Ooh. The Borg Podcast is produced by Katie Cooper with audio engineering and editing by Jason Brown.
She's been thinking about this sleepover all week, but I think about her food allergies all the time. Fortunately, her doctor prescribed Xolair, omalizumab. It's proven to significantly reduce allergic reactions if a food allergy accident happens.
Xolair 150 milligrams is a prescription medication used to treat food allergy in people 1 year of age and older to reduce allergic reactions due to accidental exposure to one or more foods. While taking Xolair, you should continue to avoid all foods to which you are allergic. Don't use if you are allergic to Xolair. Xolair may cause a severe, life-threatening allergic reaction called anaphylaxis. Tell your doctor if you ever had anaphylaxis. Get help right away if you have trouble breathing or if you have swelling of your throat or tongue. Xolair should not be used for the emergency treatment of allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis. Xolair is for maintenance use to reduce allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis, while avoiding food allergens. Serious side effects such as cancer, fever, muscle aches and rash, parasitic infection, or heart and circulation problems have been reported. Please see Xolair.com for full prescribing information. Ask an allergist about Xolair. This is an advertisement for Xolair paid for by Genentech and Novartis.
We track so many things in our lives. Trending podcasts, playlists, even your favorite artist's next album release. It's time for an easy way to track your glucose. Meet Stelo, the powerful glucose biosensor available without a prescription that tracks glucose 24/7 to reveal how food, exercise, and even sleep can affect your glucose, helping you become a healthier you. Join the personal health revolution today at Stelo.com.
Ah, greetings from my bath, festive friends. The holidays are overwhelming, but I'm tackling this season with PayPal and making the most of my money, getting 5% cash back when I pay in four. No fees, no interest. I used it to get this portable spa with jets. Now the bubbles can cling to my sculpted but pruny body. Make the most of your money this holiday with PayPal. Save the offer in the app.
Ends 12/31. See paypal.com/promo terms. Points can be redeemed for cash and more. Pay in four subject to terms and approval. PayPal Inc. and MLS 910457.